Hi, I'm Charlotte, and thanks for listening in. I'm here with best-selling author Isabel Carmody, who I hope has enjoyed her time at Abbotsea so far.
Absolutely.
Great to know. So, I just wanted to ask, how do you find the inspiration for your works, and in particular the Obed Newton Chronicles, because it's such a wide series, because, I mean, seven books and all.
Yeah, and of course it's also taken such a long time to write. But I think if I look at it really closely, and perhaps just because of the talk we've just had in the classroom, I realise that it's very much a question of a small, not small, but the injustices of my small life. When I was 14, my dad was killed in a car accident by a drunk driver, and nothing much happened to him, but that changed my life and the life of my brothers and sisters so dramatically. And connected to that was a series that a teacher did with us into the Manhattan Project, which was the invention of nuclear fission, or the creation of nuclear fission and nuclear bomb, the first nuclear bomb. And the teacher did an amazing arc of subjects in that we looked at, you know, the wonderful, thrilling creation of science. So these scientists working really hard to do this amazing thing that no one had ever done before, surrounded by totally paranoid military trying to stop everybody from talking to everybody else. It was just really wacko military people and weird political situation. And it was funny. There was comedic aspects to it too. And then the day the first bomb exploded over Alamogordo Desert and Robert Oppenheimer said, "Oh my God, what have we done?" And some people say that's the day Western science got a conscience, because it was the day at which science had to say, well, no, it's not just the thing we did. It's not just the job. It's not just the science. What we do has consequences. And that was a huge consequence. And that was before the dropping of the bombs on Hiroshima and then on Nagasaki. And the final phase of the teacher's arc of classes was that we looked at testimonials from survivors. And I just remember realising, listening to these helpless people, these people who were not responsible for anything, who had no power, talk about what happened to them and what they saw, and the realisation that war is so much about people who didn't do anything wrong, any more than my dad getting into that car that day did anything wrong except misjudge something. Why did he get in? And there are puzzlements and questions. And I think, for me, writing's always full of things that I can't understand, things that I can't explain to myself, or I can't find a solution, and I keep taking them into fiction again and again. And I say many times that in a body of work there's always only one or two questions a writer's asking over and over, and that's definitely one of mine. Why do people do the things that they do? What makes us capable? What prepares us? What makes us go one way rather than another? And can we be better, you know?
So I can see that that was a lot of inspiration for especially the fascination with fate that Elspeth has in the books.
Her feeling of both being, like, part of me doesn't like the idea of fate because it takes away any possibility of me having a choice. And so but I don't believe that's true. I think we do have choices, and there are consequences to those choices. But stuff happens as well. And there are weird fateful moments. So all of those things happen. And I guess I was trying to look at life with all those possibilities alive and encountered, and a knowledge that, you know, if they can see into the future, then the future must be fixed, except I don't believe that. I believe in if there was any kind of thing, it would be a fan-shaped destiny, which means that we come every single moment of our lives to a crossroad with a number of choices, and we can choose. Looking back, there's only one path, but looking forward, there's always a number of choices we can make. And they look back, they're always only a straight path, but forward is one fan leading to another fan, depending on what choices you make. And the choices have consequences, like my dad getting in the car. He never got in a car because he was scared. And yes, it was stormy, but why that day, at that moment, when the driver happened to be drunk? You know, so you just find these moments that are, it's like life is conspiring in some way, or they seem too fantastic and too impossible, but they happen anyway. Life is full of fantastic, fantastical, weird things that happen.
Speaking of conspiring against people, that's what authors do, isn't it? Conspire against characters.
We do, yes, we do. In fact, my my editor says to me, in fact, I'm doing an audiobook of all of the audiobooks of all of the Obed Newton Chronicles, and I'm recording the voices. And my my producer, Jed, his name's Jed Goodluck. Can you believe it? Isn't that a great name? It has to go in a book. So Jed said to me the other day, I know, he stops me every now and again because he doesn't read ahead. So he's just doing this with the knobs and all the rest of it and turning dials and whatnot behind his glass wall. And I'm there doing my thing, reading the story. And every now and again he stops me and he says, wait, I know what's going to happen. I say, really, what do you think? And then he advances his theory. And sometimes he's amazingly accurate. Sometimes he's really accurate, but he still gets it wrong. And sometimes he's totally wrong. And he says to me at one point, okay, if you make her leave now, if she just leaves him after this moment, that would be really cruel. That's exactly what does happen. I could see when I read on and he realised that was happening, I could just see him shaking his head, the poor guy.
Oh, man. Do you have a favourite character out of the Over Newton series?
Well, I mean, I'm terribly fond of Murrah Man, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe fondest of... Have you finished the series?
Not yet.
Okay, no, the reason I ask is because I want to talk about something, but I probably shouldn't anyway, because it's just that he's never been quite controllable, and he's never been as obedient as one would wish him to be, but he is a cat, and that's what I love about cats. So he's this random, beautiful, random quality in the whole books where you literally don't know what he's going to do. He might not even tell her what she needs to know. And I just love this piggy-headedness and this stubbornness and this... And also he's a wounded character. At some level he's wounded, and that's never been something I've dealt with on the surface, but it's certainly part of her love for him. And my love for him is this feeling that he's old, he's just a cat, he's thin, he's beaten up, and he's not going to live forever, you know, and he's carried this incredible destiny, and some stuff have happened to him that there's mysteries in his background too. And he's just such a good character, you know, so rich and strange, and not a main character. That's important too.
Yes. So what do you love most about writing? Like, does it change for different books, or is there just a general thing you love about
it? No, it's the same for every book. It's that feeling you get, of which I'm sure you know too, that feeling when you start to write of time unfolding. It's like, no matter how busy your life is, the minute you sit down to write, it's a time inside of a story that you're writing, and you just fall into that world. And you fall into writing, like, I remember when I was a 14-year-old girl, how when I read a book, and you know you've got to get up in the morning, you've got to do homework, and but you do nothing. You just read this book and you devour it. And books that make you do that. And when you get older, the moments in which that happens in life are less, or you allow it, you have more control over your life. But those moments of falling into story, and when you write, you do that every time. You fall into story like a 14-year-old girl reading the best book ever. Every time. That's what I love about it.
Cool.
Isn't it like that for you?
Oh, yes.
I can tell from the look on your face. Someone was interviewing me the other day and she said, whenever she asks exactly that question, writers look exactly like we just looked, which is just that sense of unfolding, relaxing happiness that you just, nothing else makes you feel. Just understand, why doesn't everybody write all of the time? The world would be a better place.
That is the question.
Absolutely.
Do you have a schedule for writing, or do you just write when you feel like it?
Well, I'd like to say that I'm disciplined, but I'm more like obsessed, which means you don't need discipline because you just work every single chance you've got.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it is. And it also means, it makes you very flexible. It means that, you know, when you grow up and you've got kids and work and you've got to do a million things, you still fit time in to write. Even if it means you're sitting up in the middle of the night writing, you still find time to do that. And, like, at the end of a day, you don't go home and think, like, I was just thinking now, I don't go back to the hotel room now and think, oh, my God, I've got to work. I go back and I think, and now I can write. Don't you feel like that too with your writing?
Yes, a lot of the time.
Just the joy of it. And it's not always easy. And you do get mired sometimes and things are difficult and you can't think what to do. But those moments seem, I don't know, when you think about that kind of moment for writing, it's just, it's perfect. It's perfection.
Yeah. Free time, nice. You were saying getting mired down. Do you ever get like writer's block, or are you
only
one of
once?
The lucky
few? Well, I don't. I do get stuck sometimes and mired, but I don't ever think of it as writer's block. Except once in my life, I don't ever think of it as writer's block, because I think if you think of it as a block, you think of it as something external to yourself. You think of it as this thing that's appeared in your way, like a roadblock, and therefore you can't do anything about it. It makes you powerless if you think of it as a writer's block. But if you think of it instead of what I truly think it is, even in the case of the one time I felt